I'm David Poyser, a journalist. Welcome to the 19th episode of PuzzPod, the insider's guide to the European Public Employment Services Network, or PES. Today, I'm with a very experienced PES mover and shaker who many of you may already know quite well from this podcast series. She's Caroline Moncel. Since July the 1st of this year, Caroline's been wearing two hats as the new chair of the PES network, and she's also still Deputy Director General of the Brussels-based PES Actiris. We're talking about her role in the PES network, challenges, opportunities, and her aspirations for the future. So let's get started. Caroline, welcome back.
Hi, David. I'm really glad to be back indeed.
Congratulations. Zillion congratulations on your new job. It's really, really well deserved, and it's so nice to chat with you again. Yes. So we've got a lot to catch up since we last spoke. What was your summer like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I had a great summer. I went to England on holidays. I went back to Exeter in Devon, where I studied 30 years ago. Makes me feel very old when I say that. But
now,
really,
so I thought you were a lot younger. I can't believe you were studying 30 years ago.
I was. But that's I'm really jealous about your beautiful country you have. But for the weather, sorry about that. And afterwards, as the summer is always a bit quieter, I decided to talk to all the heads of PES. And till now, I did 15 of them, and I still have at least 5 to go. So it's quite successful, and it's so interesting to talk them to them all.
Yeah, that's great, talking to them all. Let's get back a bit more to how you got to where you are today as the PES Network Chair. Can we just rewind a bit, if you wouldn't mind? Just tell everybody a bit about yourself. Who is Caroline Moncel? What is important to you? What inspired you to start a career in employment services?
That's many questions, but I'll try my best. About myself, let's say I'm a kind of a love and peace person who always wants to help others and put a smile on their face. It was my objective as a child when my dream was to do development aid in Africa. And it didn't quite turn out this way, but actually the public service, being at the service of the population, was an obvious choice for me. And I've been a civil servant since the start of my career.
Can you tell us a bit more about that, the beginning of your career?
It started in international relations, always for the Brussels region. So I consider myself, let's say, as a true Bruxelloise or Bruxellaire, as we say in Brussels, with a very open mind towards the world and what happens elsewhere. And so after those 10 years in international relations, I had the opportunity to work at the PERMREP of Belgium to the EU, where I coordinated the Belgian presidency in the field of research and innovation. And that was really an eye-opener to me.
It sounds like you couldn't have a better background for your current job as PES Network Chair.
And indeed, it really is a great help in this present position. And then how did I get to Actiris? Well, after the PERMREP, a former colleague of mine, who then worked for Actiris, managed to motivate me to apply there. And here I am. It's been more than 9 years now. But I must say that up till now, I feel very useful to society. So my dream as a child has come true. And I consider Actiris almost as part of my family.
Oh, that's lovely. So you're now wearing two hats. Congratulations again. You're chair of the PES network, as well as being Deputy Director General of Actiris, which is the Brussels-based PES. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the key challenges that the Brussels-based labour market is facing at the moment? What's Actiris doing about these challenges?
There are so many challenges, but okay, I'll stick to the most important ones, let's say. About Brussels, it has a very unique labour market situation because there's a true mismatch between offer and demand. No employers seeking highly qualified personnel, And then the job seekers are less qualified or much less qualified. So that's one of the reasons why we decided recently to make a newly registered young job seekers undergo an assessment of their language and digital skills to orient them towards the right career path and to improve this match. Another thing is the Ukrainian crisis. That one has also had a huge impact on the Brussels unemployment figures. They have risen lately because of that. But also youth unemployment increased after the pandemic. What we noticed in Brussels is that the youth are the first one to suffer from any crisis, but they're also the first ones to benefit from an economic recovery.
What motivated you to become chair of the PES Network? Because you've got so much on anyway. And what are your aspirations for the PES Network while you're the chair?
Well, I've been working in international relations for a long time, as I said earlier, and I was the representative of the Brussels region in several international or European networks, such as Eurocities, the European Assembly of the Regions, etc. So I know quite well how such networks function and or how they should function. And the same with Europe, which I'm quite familiar with as well. And also the fact that I work in Brussels to be useful for meeting purposes. Another thing is that personally, I really love human interaction, making people collaborate and exchange, and especially when those joint efforts come to a concrete result, such as a common project or a change in the European agenda or a proposal, that is what really makes me content. And that's exactly what I aspire during my chairwomanship. A concrete added value to the network, for its members, and actually for the whole of Europe in the end. Even if this might sound a bit big-headed or overambitious.
I think it's right to be ambitious, isn't it? You're an ambitious person and you've achieved loads of them. While you're chair of the PES network, how will you measure your success?
Well, the heads of PES have now been cooperating for more than 25 years. And our true aim is to encourage cooperation between the PES by supporting our customers to get back to work. And most of our programs, or many of them, target vulnerable social groups, older workers, youth, people with disabilities, people from diverse backgrounds. Actually, perhaps you recall our podcast last year where I talked about the importance of encouraging diversity in the workplace. Do you remember?
That was brilliant because we had, because of you, we were able to talk to an employer as well. I think it was really inspirational for all the other pairs.
Well, that's the idea, really. Because this is a real an example of a PES, Actiris, partnering up with businesses to support them to become more inclusive. You should listen to it again.
Yes, exactly. Everybody listening, listen to that episode again.
Yes. Well, I would say that the PES's network success can be measured by its spirit of European solidarity. Because I must say there's a high level of trust between our members who openly share experiences on a wide range of activities, good and bad experiences. And a fine proof of this are the bench learning assessments, where the PES assess each other's performance and share the results openly with each other. And another token of European solidarity that I'm very proud of is the work and the activities that still continue to support the integration of Ukrainian refugees. And I would like to applaud our former chair, Johannes Kopp, for this, because he initiated all this.
Yeah, he was great. And can you tell me about the evaluation then?
Of course. The PES network is evaluated at regular intervals to see if we contributed to achievements of all the objectives set out in the PES network decision. It was done, the last time was in 2019. And it really showed that we were on the right track, huh? That we were successful and effective in delivering those objectives. And so we hope that the network's mandate will be renewed in 2027.
So the evaluation will take place in 26 and then the renewal should be in 2027.
Yes, yes. About the evaluation in 2019, I even remember our commissioner, who was then Marianne Thyssen, she spoke very highly of it. So I think we can be proud of the accomplishments.
Mm. And the current commissioner was, he was on the podcast. He loved the work you do as well. So what are the things you want to achieve personally for the network?
Well, there are three things I wish to achieve personally. First of all, I wish to improve the communication tools in order to ensure a better visibility of what we do for everybody.
You'll be good at that. That's just one of your many strengths.
I propose that we write a common memorandum for the new commission so as to make the PES network more visible and that, so that we can influence the agenda of the next commission in employment affairs and call for concrete action to the next commissioner.
And what about the challenge you're facing, like skills and labour shortages in the labour market? Have you got any ideas on that? I think you started mapping out how PES are measuring shortages across the EU.
That's the second thing I would like to achieve. Because we're really facing skills and labour shortages on the labour market. And we've started mapping how PES are measuring shortages across the EU. That's the first step to take. And now we're discussing a possible common approach. And I must say that the third country migration was an important topic on the agenda in Stockholm at our last board meeting. And I also realized there's a high interest from many PES to be able to offer advice for the design of new initiatives. For example, we're also the first ones to be consulted in the development of this new European talent pool. And there will be a specific seminar for PES members on the subject of third country migration in November. So I invite all interested PES who are listening to participate. And hopefully we'll come to a first, more concrete draft proposal on how we wish to take this forward.
And that will be on the PES network website, won't it?
And that'll be sent. Yes, of course. Yeah. And then the third thing I would like to accomplish is a closer cooperation with external stakeholders. But as you've heard, I like concrete projects, you're not just promises or official written statements that might lead to nothing. So if I come back to your initial question, success, you know, it's very subjective. But I very much hope that by the next time we talk again and we look back at the achievements, we can be sure that we've helped PES learn from one another, to innovate and cooperate, and that we've helped PES improve their performance, and that in the end, it's beneficial for our customers, for everybody, the job seekers and employers.
I think it is. Everybody says it is. We've talked a lot, Caroline, right throughout this podcast about green jobs and the digital transition and how that is changing skill needs and how labour shortage poses a threat to employment. How do you think the PES network will rise to meet these challenges?
These issues are certainly top priorities for the PES network already. And they'll continue to be high on the agenda. And from my experience with Actiris, I can already say that the network has helped us anticipate and get a better understanding of what is coming up. But it will definitely have this green and digital transition an impact on our business processes and services. So what we need is inspiration of what other PES do across the EU. On green transition, for example, it was on the agenda on during the last PES meeting, the board meeting in Stockholm. And it was really a very important topic. It was
this is the green transition.
Yes. And there was also an online workshop on greening the labor market hosted by the German PES this year, where they invited PES to discuss all their different strategic approaches and measures. And finally, we made a paper on this, which really gives a good overview of where PES are. It's really interesting. And it shows that PES need to intensify cooperation with companies, but also with training institutions.
Yeah. What sort about the topic of the skills? What sort of things do you need to do?
Well, we've also started on this topic. We've already discussed it a lot. And it's clear that we need to ensure that workers are equipped with the right skills for the labor market and all its changes. And this means that PES will have to play a key role in supporting job seekers to get ready for those green and digital jobs of the future and of today also. So it's actually lifelong learning, which is the buzzword. We need to keep the workforce prepared for those jobs and match the needs of businesses.
What about the European Year of Skills this year? Do you think it's gone well?
Yes, it's a very positive European Commission initiative, which gives us a unique opportunity to put this topic high on the agenda and to help people get the right skills for quality jobs. And the PES Network also published a paper on that, on the European skills. Did you know that?
No, and I think that's something that people should try and get hold of, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. It's really interesting. But another thing related to skills, which will become more and more important, and we all know, that is data analytics and artificial intelligence. They will increasingly play a role in PES, for instance, to help match skills with jobs, as well as forecasting the skills needs of the future.
And the digital transition, I know we've talked about it before.
Well, there is a working group on digitalization in the PES network, and it really demonstrates the importance of mutual learning and exchange between PES to help address these developments. And I personally think AI and artificial intelligence is a theme where we could cooperate better in the future.
Absolutely. That's a great new initiative for the PES network, isn't it?
So I would say that for all these challenges, you know, we're really trying to embrace them in a very holistic way.
Yeah. One other important thing, isn't it, that you have talked about is the widening the partnerships of the network. Can you just tell us a bit more about that? Do you have any tricks up your sleeve for stakeholder management?
Oh, yes. You know, partnerships in the PES network, it's not new, you know. We already work regularly with a very large range of stakeholders, for example, the EMCO, the WAPES, the ILO.
The WAPES, that's the World Association of Public Employment Services.
Oh, yes. Sorry about the jargon. No. ILO, no,
everybody
do you know
calls
what
it
that
WAPES.
Is?
Yeah.
ILO, you know what that is?
Yeah, the International Labour Organization, yeah. Yeah. And
the OECD. Great. Well, we also did the annual stakeholder conference earlier this year, and it brought together around 150 participants. And they were not just PES representatives, but also many labor market stakeholders and experts. And what came out of it is that we could do better when it comes to cooperation with education and training institutions, and also with social services and NGOs. So I'd say better partnerships is paramount for the PES. And as for the PES network itself, as I said earlier, I want concrete partnerships. I will not conclude any partnerships, any agreements, where there's no win-win situation for both parties.
That makes sense. And I know you've had a lot of experience doing that. I mean, the other thing, just finally, because it's from our earlier chats, you're really well known to make everybody in an organization feel important and valued. And that's one of the wonderful things you did within Actiris. So what's your secret and how do you plan to do this at the PES Network?
Well, thank you, David. And I'm quite surprised by this question, as I didn't quite realize this asset of mine. I don't take things for granted. You see, I'm convinced that people need permanent feedback. And if they do their job well, I'll let them know and I show my gratitude to whoever does something to me, my experts in my team who are incredibly knowledgeable on so many topics and therefore they're a great help in what I do. I couldn't do without them, you know? And that's exactly what I intend to do with the PES Network. Make people feel valued and be grateful for what they can offer the network.
I think that's a lovely phrase on which to finish. Congratulations again.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, Caroline, for your insights and for telling us your story and inviting us to learn more about what's to come for PES. We'd like to remind everybody listening that the PES Network Knowledge Centre contains many useful resources and publications, including a new PES Network opinions paper that contributed to the European Year of Skills debate, which we talked about earlier. We'd also like to draw your attention to the European Labour Market Barometer, published monthly by the Institute for Employment Research, the IAB, in cooperation with the PES Network. Please find links to both the skills opinion paper and the barometer in the show notes. So thanks to everybody at the PES Network for contributing your expertise, enabling us to make this podcast happen. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email, if you have any, to empl-secretariat@ec.europa.eu. PES Pod was produced by the European Commission with technical support from ICF. Thank you all for listening. This is David Poyser signing off till the next PES Pod.